verse 20. We'll read through verse 25. Matthew 26, verse 20. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him, but woe to the man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man to have not been born." And Judas said, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself."
Certainly wonderful to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you're our honored guests. We are happy to have you here. We ask that you stick around so we can get to know you a little bit better after the service of this morning. Also, if you're here for the gospel meeting, I hate to tell you, but you're a week late. That ended last week. Don Truex was here Sunday to Wednesday, and it was a great service, and we learned a lot and really enjoyed having him here. I was joking with Vivian earlier this week. I said, you know, people in Eastland are going to be a little bit disappointed. On Monday, it was 65 degrees. We had an experienced preacher from South Florida here at Eastland. Today, Sunday, 6 days later, it's 35 degrees. I'm from North Idaho, and as far as experience goes, at the end of this sermon, I hope I can say both sermons have went well. And on a final note, today is Henry's first service here. I'm happy to have him here. I'm also happy to do the lesson this morning because it gives me a full week to tell people that this is the best sermon he's ever heard. And next week when Cloyce is back up here, then I can say maybe it's the second best. But until that time, I have 7 days to tell one more joke. So now getting on to our lesson for this morning. 700 years ago, in 1314, a famous Italian poet, Dante, wrote a poem called Inferno. We know it as Dante's Inferno. In this poem, there's 9 layers of hell, and as each layer, as Dante goes through each layer of hell, the people in it get worse and worse and worse. Until at the very center of hell, Dante runs into Satan. And Satan is a three-headed beast. And he has 3 heads, and he's chewing on 3 people. On the left and right head are Brutus and Cassius for their treachery and their involvement with Julius Caesar. And in the middle, most vicious mouth, is Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Jesus, eternally being punished for what he has done. When I read that, it seems to me, it makes me think of the fascination that we have with Judas. It's so fascinating to us that someone so close to Jesus could betray him. So today our lesson is coming from the story of Judas, the lessons that we can learn from the story of Judas. A common question that we might ask about Judas is why. Why would he betray Jesus? Why would Judas betray Jesus? Why did he do it? The Bible doesn't exactly tell us exactly why, but it gives us some hints about who he was. We know from the scripture that Judas was greedy. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16, it says there, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me that I deliver him to you?' And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. So from that time on, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus." So we see right away that Judas was greedy. He seeks an opportunity, seeks a way to receive money for Jesus, in return for Jesus. We also read that he was a thief. In John chapter 12, verses 3 through 6, there it says, Mary took a pound of very costly oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, said, Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This, John tells us, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was in it. He used to take what was put in it. So the two things that we see about Judas, he was greedy, and he was a thief. My question, and the thought that always went through my mind while I was preparing this, was he always that way? Was Judas always greedy? I don't know. I don't know if he was. Personally, I don't think he was, for a couple of reasons. First, in the story of his conversion, we never read about Judas's conversion, but we do know that all of the apostles were given the same authority. So when I look at the conversions of the apostles, I read of Peter, Andrew, James, and John in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 18 through 22. Jesus, there it says, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting out nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James and John, with their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We read of another apostle who was converted over to Christ, Matthew, the tax collector. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27, it says, After these things, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, Follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. From these examples, we see immediate reaction from the disciple or from the apostles. They quit what they were doing. They left their job, and they followed Jesus. They left their family to follow Jesus, and they left their income to follow Jesus. Based on their conversion, I would think that Judas was similar, that he would not stick out like a sore thumb to the apostles. We read that when Jesus announces that the apostles, there's a betrayer among them, all the apostles look inward. They don't point to Judas and say, it was him. He's the only one who did not leave his job. He was working on the side and then was being an apostle. We also, like I mentioned, we read that all of the apostles were given the same gifts. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, there we read, These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor beg for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs for a worker is worthy of his food. So in my mind, if Judas was always greedy, he would find a way to manipulate the situation. We know that he's not afraid to steal in front of the apostles, so why would he not be afraid to ask for money for the power that he has? I believe Judas left his job and left his income and left his bag at home, followed what Jesus said, just like the other apostles. But eventually, scriptures say, he was greedy. He became greedy. So the first lesson about the story of Judas that I think applies to us today is that association with godly people does not guarantee obedience. Association with godly people does not guarantee our spiritual success. And also, association with godly people does not guarantee our salvation. The story of Judas gives us one fact, that no matter how, that everyone is subject to falling. And how scary of a thought that is. Because Judas knew his teaching, he knew his love, he saw his miracles, and he saw his power. Yet he was still able to fall. shoes of the apostles. I want you to think of spending your time with Judas there. He was a good friend. He would travel along with them. I think in my own life, or for you to think of someone that you are extremely close to, a family, a relative, just a good friend, that you were a close friend with them when they were a Christian. And think about a time when sin in their life separated themselves from Jesus. And how much that hurts. That gut-wrenching feeling of when someone turns their back on Jesus that you are a close, close friend to. I was trying to think of a word to put to it, and I don't think it's guilt or regret or remorse, but it's just, in my mind, just that gut-wrenching feeling of sickness. And the question that I would ask myself is there anything I could have done? So think about the apostles, and when they know that Judas betrayed Jesus, that their close friend, how could he turn his back on Jesus? Is there anything I could have done to help Judas? And the same thing that we ask ourselves when our close friends leave the Lord. Is there anything I could have done? And I think about encouragement. Encouragement is one thing that we all can do more. And I think about, again, when the apostles, when Jesus proclaims to the apostles that there's a betrayer among them, all the apostles look inward. And that they think people there are safe. They don't know the hate or the greed that is growing in Judas's heart. And we don't know what Christians are struggling with in this church. So I encourage everyone to encourage everyone in this church. I think about our elders who do a great, phenomenal job at this church, and that I know for a fact that I do not encourage them enough and say thank you for the hard work that they do. So this week, I just want us to think about how we can encourage other people in the church, even if we think that everything is going fine in their life. That point of my lesson came from an email that I received. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, one of my friends from SC sent me an email that had an article in the USA Today. And the headline was, FBI closes down the largest drug ring, online drug ring in America. So as I'm starting to read through this article, what it says is there's a website that was set up like an eBay, and it would be an anonymous buyer and an anonymous seller, and they could go to this website and buy and sell any type of drugs. And the website would take 5% of whatever was bought and sold. And as I kept reading down the article, it says, the person who owned the website was a person that I attended FC with. And it just shocked me so much of the person that I shared Bible classes with, that I sat among fellowship with, would trade in his life for money. And this website was selling about $8 million a month. And he would be getting a commission off of that for setting up a transaction places for people to buy and sell. And even though I didn't know him well, still the thought of guilt entered my heart. Was there anything I could have done to help him be more focused on Jesus? So that is the lesson that I want to think about with Judas today. The next point that I want us to consider is more of a joyful point, just about how great the love of Jesus is. The scripture reading today was about Jesus and the time of him being betrayed. In that account, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they began to question amongst themselves. And he said, Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verse 24, "But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." I want you to focus on that sentence. Woe to the man. Woe to the man. Jesus knew all along that Judas would be betraying him. "Woe to you, Judas." And in my mind, the way that I translate that is almost as a father talking to a son. "Judas, I know what you're going to do, and it's going to kill me. But I'm more worried about you than the consequences of that sin that it's going to cause to you. Because if you go through with this, Judas, it'll be better for you to have not been born than to go through with this. So, Judas, don't go through with this, not because of me, but because of the punishment for you." And so I just think of how great of a love that Jesus is for our life. That when we are turning our back on him and hurting him, he is worried about the consequences it is for us. That before he got sent on the cross, he was sad. He was trying to convince Judas, "Don't go through with this because of the consequences that it will cause you." So I just think that is an encouraging note of the love of our Savior. That no matter what we are going through, that he will always be loving us. We know that we have to be repentant, but his love for us will always be there. Another point that I'd like to mention about the life of Judas is remorse and repentance are not the same. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 27 states, "Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself." Judas's life came to a sad end. He only had remorse and not repentance. We also read in John's account, John chapter 17, that Jesus calls Judas the son of perdition, that he was lost, and that Judas only had remorse and not repentance. And how scary of a thought that is for us, that if our hearts are only remorseful for the consequences of sin, but not repentant for the consequences of sin. When Judas saw the consequences of his sin, he was remorseful, but not repentant. He was sorry for the consequences, but not sorry for the sin. It's a very sad ending to his life, but I think there are many lessons that we can learn from that. We don't like the consequences of sin, yet we have them. But unlike Judas, we still have a choice. We have a choice to turn back to God, turn back to Jesus, and ask for repentance of sins. I also think of the last thing, one of the last things that Judas did to Jesus the night that he was betrayed. He gave Jesus a kiss of betrayal to show that the mob who Jesus was. He kissed him. A kiss of betrayal is one of the last acts that Judas did to Jesus. And after he sees that Jesus is condemned, he was only remorseful. He took his life, but he was never repentant. And I think about what if he did repent? What if he did repent? What if, like us, he had the opportunity to repent? If he didn't take his life and had the opportunity to repent, what would have Jesus done? What would Jesus do? Is there any doubt in your mind that Jesus would have forgiven him? But Judas never repented. He chose the option not to return to Jesus. He chose to quit too soon, and he gave up too soon. But we have another choice. The choice is ours to return and repent. And we can always turn away from our sin. We can return. baptism and betrayal, I also think about how Judas wanted to show that he, to act like he was close to Jesus by kissing him. Yet his actions showed otherwise. He betrayed him. And how that can sometimes be a reflection of our life, that we want to show how close we are to Jesus, yet our lives might not necessarily reflect that. How scary of a thought that that is. But I think about repenting and how we will be welcomed home. In the story of Luke chapter 15, verses 18 through 24, of the prodigal son. And there it says, I will get up, this is the prodigal son speaking, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father's house. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slave, drop down to verse 23, let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And then he came to celebrate. I just think of how different the God that we serve is. That he will give us a kiss of love. A kiss of welcoming us home. We turn our back on him. And if we repent of our sins, he will kiss us and welcome us home. If you have sin in your life that needs to be made public, or you need the